Hey, I love that song. What a jam.
It's a great tune.
We didn't actually hear it just now.
Who produced that?
I made it, produced it, and I was listening to it recently, and I think my bass drums might have been a bit heavy.
I like them, though. They kind of rattle the trunk, which okay. I think is how our podcast should be remembered, as a trunk rattler cast.
Yeah, that's a sweet way to remember it. Welcome back, listeners.
Hello. Welcome to the Bluest Podcast. We've changed. We're going to work dirty now. Pee-pee poo-poo. This is the pee-pee poo-poo cast.
Watch your mouth.
We talk about peeing and we talk about pooping. And yeah, so.
We just did.
Don't tell our moms, please.
Please.
She'll take away our computers.
Our podcast will be done.
Our moms will come in and shut down our podcast.
Stop. Mom, no. Mom, we're kidding.
Mom, I never said that. He said.
I don't live with my mom, but where do you live, Dad? I'm just kidding. Welcome back.
Good for you.
Everybody's situation is different. So before we get into anything, I want to remind the listener, in case you don't listen to the end of the podcast, that we have a giveaway coming up. And I'll tell you what it is later. Maybe a different episode, but it'll be, we have to play another Pokemon game coming up. We get to, and I've organized a giveaway for it, and we'll explain in more detail as it gets closer. But I just wanted to remind everyone, big giveaway coming up.
Good thinking. No one's getting all the way to the end of this podcast.
Yeah, they're like 10 minutes in. Eh, that's enough for today.
Yeah, they've not even talked about the game yet.
They just keep talking about movies. Why don't they shut up? Anything new this week?
I didn't see Dune 2 yet, and I need to. I'm really excited about that. I hear it's pretty good.
I didn't watch it, and if my track record is anything to go by, I will watch it next year. So can't wait to talk about it with you then.
Yeah, we'll still be going probably at that point.
We have to like game 40.
Played Helldivers 2, the game all the kids are raving about.
Oh, kids are loving it. I've also played that game, but by myself with random people.
Well, that's not good.
Are you loving the game?
It's fun with friends. It's a real gaff and goof because you keep blowing yourself up, them up.
Oh, it's way less fun with random people that blow you up? That's annoying. Like, really? You're going to throw in an airstrike right there when I'm standing here shooting at them? Okay.
Ooh, that could be annoying. With the friends, there's a little communication. Mind you, I've only played twice now, so I'm not like high level or anything. No, but the
couple dives.
The doggies I was playing with were, some good boys.
Yeah, I imagine it's probably could be a lot of fun. It reminds me a little bit of Mass Effect 3 multiplayer.
Ooh.
In that you're killing aliens, you're essentially working together, but also kind of competing, you know, because they give you stats at the end and you're wondering who killed the most, who had the best accuracy. So it's like you're working together, but you're also kind of competing.
Yeah, there is that thing at the end where you're like, you got more kills than me. Interesting.
Yeah. I like working together games.
Yeah. Hand in hand.
Basically because I suck at PvP, so. If we can just take that element off the table, better for me.
Ooh. They do a good job of like the different weapons, and you can kind of play it a couple different ways, which is good. You're not locked into one mode of playing, if you will.
Yeah, like certain builds or?
Just like weapons and drops and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like I know some people are like machine gunners. Some like to do the sniping, you know, those kinds of things.
That is true. You can pick your own loadouts. Yeah, pretty fun. What did I play? I was playing a lot of the game this week, Banjo-Kazooie. I always feel bad after the weeks where I don't really play the game. And then the following game, I'm like, all right, I'll get into it. I'll play this one. So I was playing a lot of Banjo-Kazooie. I actually got sick this week, and then my car broke, and I had to fix it. So I didn't have a great week, but I did get some time in with Banjo-Kazooie.
Nice. Did it take your mind off of all of your ills, your problems?
it took my mind off those problems and then made me frustrated about Banjo-Kazooie and gave me Banjo-Kazooie problems.
Ooh, exciting. Listener, you're going to be hearing Steve's problems if you stick around and don't turn the podcast off.
Yeah, I'll get into all the problems. But I did have a lot of fun playing, not to jump straight into the game. But I watched a movie, and I'll tell you why I watched it later. But I watched a movie called Snake Eyes.
Okay.
With Nicolas Cage.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Snake Eyes?
I've never seen Snake Eyes.
I can only say I've seen it now because I watched it yesterday. But before that, I had never seen Snake Eyes either. Go ahead.
I just want to check. Is it based on the G.I. Joe character?
It's not.
Okay. All right.
I made a G.I. Joe movie later. It's called Snake Eyes, and they say the term Snake Eyes several times in the movie, which is always good. You always want them to say the title of the movie. But it was a pretty good 90s movie. At first I was waiting for John Travolta, but then I realized that is Face Off and not Snake Eyes. John Travolta is not in Snake Eyes.
Where they do Face Off, but it's a snake and then John Travolta.
John, what happened to your face?
You have a little tiny snake face.
I really wish I could do a John Travolta voice. I can't think of it.
Yeah,
I can only think of Grease. So I can go, Sandy.
Yeah. I don't know what his actual voice is like now that I'm thinking about it.
People do it. I can't think of it. They do like a Vinnie Barbarelli, though, from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone's old enough to know what that is.
I don't think you're old enough to know what that is.
I have never seen it, but I know what it is. Yeah. We talk a lot of TV at my house. That's about all I had going on, though. Short week. Well, yeah, I mean, physically the same, but not a lot happening.
We do spring forward. So
you do.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Congratulations.
I've escaped the cycle of pain.
I'll never participate.
Are you springing forward this weekend?
Yep, Sunday.
The weekend of March 9th, 10th, tomorrow at 2 a.m.?
Yep.
Ooh, say bye to that hour. Never getting that back.
Well, what's kind of nice is now I have to technically work one less hour, sort of, kind of.
No, they took it away from you on a Sunday.
Yeah, so that's
the problem. You're on call.
And you could put it on a Monday at like 3 p.m. Everyone would be so awesome. Happy. You're just like, oh, it's sport. See it?
You fixed it. Yeah. Oh, man, that would be great.
And then people are going to get way more mad. And then for the fall back, do it on a Friday night at like set 6. So you left work at 5. You look, it's 5 again. You just, your night is even longer.
You solved it. Everyone wants to get rid of it. You just have to change when it happens.
Why am I not in charge of things?
You should be in charge. I'll vote for you. Just for that, though, don't make any other suggestions.
Yeah, that's entirely what I run on.
That's the entire platform.
Do it. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be playing frisbee golf.
They're like, sir, what do you think of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict?
Nope.
Any answers there?
Watch the Strat. Although George Bush already did that. Actually, now that I think about it, you ever seen that video where he's like doing a news report? He's talking like, he's like, terrorism, we got to stop it. Now watch this drive, and he just clocks it, dude.
I didn't see that. Sounds like a good time, though. That's the way to politic. Just dodge the questions and keep getting paid to golf, even if it's frisbee golf.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to love frisbee golfed? That's true. People would love it.
No, I don't know if we've announced our shameful secret on the podcast.
I think we may have mentioned it or alluded to it once.
No, I think you were my only frisbee golf cohort.
Yeah, I've also given up.
We were enabling each other. I think it's good that you moved away, sort of like heroin addicts or something. It's like I had to get away from you.
We finally stopped. It's for the best.
No disrespect to our listeners. Want to enjoy that activity?
Oh yeah, it's quite relaxing and it's great to get outside. I honestly miss just being outside and walking around.
Yeah, the steps were nice. A nice Saturday morning step fest.
Yeah. You could still do that, I guess.
Just find walk a
Facebook,
around.
Facebook group of ladies who walk in the mornings on the weekends.
Should I go walk with some grandmoms every morning?
On the I Saturday? Would.
You would, but
Grandmas love me.
Speaking of walking. And rolling.
And wearing backpacks.
Yes. What's this week's game?
This week we played Banjo-Kazooie. Uh-huh. That's the song.
Play the banjo. Plays forever in the beginning of the game, and you have wow. to. It just goes and goes, and then the little lady has a flute, and she's tooting.
Did you watch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I did once, yeah. It is a long introduction.
It's really long. It's wild.
Any more interesting introspective thoughts on the music so we don't get struck in?
No, I think it was. I think it's good. I think it's a fun 90s music for a platformer. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's jamming on that banjo. I had a note here. The person who did the music and effects, his name is Grant Kirkhope. Shout out, Grant. He also worked on GoldenEye.
Ooh.
And Viva Pinata and Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning. So he's done some Ooh. Music.
Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning is a great game with great music. Yeah.
I've never played that.
What a guy.
And it's not on our list. But he said he was inspired by Danny Elfman's score in Beetlejuice for this. Okay. He said he liked the idea that you could use really dark chords with dark harmonies. And as long as the rhythm was quite comical, then it's not going to scare the kids.
This guy, an unknown genius to me, but a talented video game scorer.
Yeah, just follow in Danny Elfman's footsteps and you'll probably be all right.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, that is hard to do. Let me hit you with some of these fun facts.
Steve's fun facts.
It was...
Steve developed fun facts.
None of that. Developed in... Not developed, released in 1998 by Rare. Do you know some other Rare games?
I definitely do. I just can't think of them right now. I know the logo popping up in the middle of a mm-hmm. game.
We played one already, actually.
What was that?
Donkey Kong Country.
Ah, Donkey Kong Country.
Yeah. Also 007 GoldenEye, yeah. which we will play. It's on the list.
What a
Perfect
game.
Dark. The spiritual successor to GoldenEye.
I need to play that.
And the last one I'll mention is Sea of Thieves.
There we go. I kept thinking about the Rare logo popping up in a game. Yeah. We've played hundreds of hours of Sea of Thieves.
We have sailed all seven of the seas. We did play a lot of Sea of Thieves at the time. Yep.
Two pirate legends you're talking to.
That's actually true. Pirate legends. We earn the rank.
Yep.
Get on our level. We'll freaking blow your ship up. Come near us.
We'll blow ourselves and your ship up.
We don't even care. We don't have any treasure.
Sometimes we accidentally get treasure so much that we become pirate legends.
Anyway, they released Banjo-Kazooie in 98, in June of 98, in July in Europe of 98. But I went down this time traveling wormhole to see what else was going on in 98. Just to paint the full picture here, listen to how awesome 1998 was. First fact of 98, Terry Nichols was sentenced to life in prison for his role in the Oklahoma City bombings.
Fun.
A co-conspirator with Timothy McVeigh. Is that the other?
Those are the Oklahoma City bombs.
He was given a record-setting term, 161 consecutive life terms for his role in that.
You got to... Take those on 10 toes. You'll be out soon, bro.
You only have 2 days in prison, the day you come in and the day you go out. So that's the downer one. But The Truman Show released in theaters.
Ooh, Great movie.
Michael Jordan had just beaten the Utah Jazz for his sixth ring. Brandy and Monica's The Boy Is Mine topped the summer music charts.
Oh.
Do you know that song?
I do know that song. I had to think about it for a second. And then I went, yeah. Oh.
It kind of went away, but that was a hit of the summer. We also had songs like Getting Jiggy With It and Casey and JoJo's All My Life.
Great tunes.
I'm trying to paint how amazing the 90s were.
Yeah, you're talking back 90s. Into it. I'm getting a little depressed.
Yeah, some video games. We also had Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time, which people love.
Wow.
Half-Life. Let me get you going there. Half-Life. Yeah,
I'm going. I'm gone.
StarCraft 1. Oh. Metal Gear Solid 1. Resident Evil 2.
Jeez.
And also wrote down FIFA 99, but that's every year.
True.
But that man, oh man, FIFA 99 was only in 98.
How the vibes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And this is also why I watched Snake Eyes. I went and Googled like movie charts for 98. I wanted to fully immerse in 1998. And man, it is 98-tastic.
Oh, that's awesome.
So everything is amazing. You can't go wrong. And then this game comes out, Banjo-Kazooie, and you just play it, you know, because that's what you have. Do you want to know how many people played it? Do you want to guess sales numbers?
1.6 million.
Do you want to make another guess?
Yes.
Maybe higher?
5.3 million.
But like somewhere in between.
This feels hand-holding. $3.5 million.
Close. $3.65 million.
Ooh, first try.
Pretty good sales numbers. I read it was the 10th best-selling Nintendo game, maybe of all time, or maybe as of 2017 or something. At one point, it was the 10th best Nintendo 64 selling game. So a lot of people played it. Probably most people had a 64. Do you want to guess its Metacritic score?
Yes. 87.
But higher?
Nope. I'm sticking with 87.
It's higher. It's a 92 out of 100. Which fair, is pretty solid. Yeah. I don't know that I would rate it that high, but we'll get into that. I got a good review and bad review. Good review from Jesus Cristo. So maybe the actual Jesus?
Our Lord and Savior. I gotta talk about this game.
Yeah, he wrote it in Spanish, though. So, una dificultad bien balanceada en lo personal lo considero muy superior a su rival, Super Mario 64, que también es un juegazo. Lo único que no me gusta es la sección de preguntas de Gruntilda. But, you know, es un juego casi perfecto, perfecto. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 from Jesus.
I can't tell that he likes Super Mario more.
he said, in his opinion, he thinks it's superior to its rival, Mario 64.
Ooh, a hot take from our boy, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. A lot of the people said it was better in some ways.
Okay.
So I'd have to replay 64 more recently to compare, but do you want a bad review?
Yes.
I can't remember the score he gave it, but this was from Metakiller. So this may be his deal. He might just go on and give bad reviews to popular games. But he said, tedious platforming, poor fighting mechanics, confusing swimming controls, horrible minigames, repetitive challenges, and an insulting pop quiz level comprise the complete failure that is Banjo-Kazooie. It is a nostalgia-driven experience beyond anything else.
Complete failure.
He did not like it. Did you get to a pop quiz level?
No.
I read about it. I'm going to go out on a limb and guess because I didn't get there and I didn't YouTube it. But I think all those little facts you get from Gruntilda's sister where she's like, the witch likes to swim in pig crab. I think those are all the pop quiz questions you have to answer.
Okay.
That's my guess.
So you just
let us know if we're wrong. So yeah, they did not like it, but Jesus liked it. So, you know, a ringing endorsement. There's some other fun facts we can get into before the actual gameplay. They originally planned it as an RPG, and it was called Project Dream. It was going to be about a boy named Edson who caused trouble with pirates.
Huh.
So they veered off course there.
That's just slightly off course.
Which they eventually made Sea of Thieves, so maybe it was always in their back pocket.
Ah.
But they didn't. They said the RPG systems were getting a little too complicated, more than they wanted. It all started developing on the Super Nintendo, so this was like a 2.5D game at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it got into, it involved layering of several sprites to provide depth, achieved with hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of rendering equipment.
Jeez. So I think
it just, they got in a little above their heads at one point. And then as development progressed, the boy was considered by the developers to be generic, and they replaced him by a rabbit for 2 or 3 days, and then a bear who wore a backpack, sneakers, and cap. Boom.
There he is.
The bear eventually became Banjo.
Hmm. At what point does it become just canceling a game and starting a new one?
They just keep morphing it. Like, oh, this isn't going well. What if we turn the kid into a rabbit? Okay.
Yeah.
What if he's a bear? they actually found, they added the bird. It was just a bear. But as they wanted to give the bear more abilities to like run faster or jump and do a double jump. And then they're like, well, what if he's got a bird in a backpack?
Imagine the guy that took like 2 weeks vacation.
He comes back. Hey, what do we got going on with Edson, guys?
Yeah, he's a bear now.
What?
And he has a bird.
Why? He's got a double jump. And there's got to be a lore reason.
There's no more pirates, by the way. It's a witch.
Where'd the pirates go? Guys, this is my brainchild. Yeah, you're fired. So it really morphed and kept developing. But they, you know, eventually they got there. They were inspired. They actually needed Mario 64 to come out. They were inspired by all that and then kind of shifted into not copying it, but
being very inspired by it.
Yeah, emulating, homaging.
We would never emulate. This is
one of the first games to use vertical remixing of music. Do you know what that term is?
No.
I didn't either, but various sound layers fade in and out depending on the player's location.
Oh.
Did you notice the music would kind of pivot?
Yeah, but you know, I think I'm so used to that.
Now?
Yeah, I love stuff like that. So this is the first game that did that?
One of the first, it says.
One of the first, okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of used to that at this point, especially in those types of platformers. Anyways, yeah. Take that for granted. It.
Yeah, you're too young. You're a summer child. I noticed it as it was happening. I was like, oh, I like that. Like I dive underwater and then you get a little mix up of the music or you enter a new area. And it's the same theme kind of playing, but they've changed it.
Neat.
Yeah. That's about all my fun facts. Hope they were fun.
Those were good. I had fun.
Yeah. Welcome to 98.
Oh, things can never get better.
And they didn't.
It's entirely true.
So we powered on the game and sat through the lengthy intro. And then it just plays, right?
Yeah.
You can watch him play.
Yeah. So, and then you kind of, yeah, he runs around and you click through that. And then you go, oh my gosh, I can't stand these graphics. I have to fix things. And then you spend, I don't know, an hour and a half remembering how to set up all of your N64's graphics system settings and driver.
Yes. Yeah.
And then after that, you go, I'll play tomorrow.
This is what everyone does. This is not specific to you.
Yeah. And then I get back in, and now the graphics are native and look fun, like very nice, colorful graphics.
Yeah.
And I'm immediately pulled into the world. Even today, there's just a vibe and a kind of a, would be the word, a theme that's enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I did the same. Got the graphics sharpened up. I only realized after putting in like 3 hours that I have this game on my Xbox as part of the Rare Replay. They kind of re-released it, and it looks the same if I'm, because I own the game and emulating it on my computer, it looks the same upscale on my computer as the Xbox version, which N64 textures were always ugly, but you know, all the lines are sharp at least.
Yeah. They're blocky, but
yeah, very polygonal. That was of the time though. PlayStation 1, Nintendo 64. They had like 46 polygons to use per character. You gotta be real judicious with those.
Yeah. Look great though. I like the way those games look. And I think I didn't go as deep as you with the 98, but I do when I play these games. I try to think how was the vibe?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would it have felt like to play this if I was about 12, you know? And
perfect.
It was good. I was able to get into that mindset.
Yeah, you just be in your beanbag chair with a bag of Cheetos and a napkin, just banjo kazooieing.
They really are going to be the best retirement homes. They really are.
Yeah, I want a giant, what are the giant beanbag company called?
I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I want one of those. I'll just plop down in. I'll have to be helped out of it.
Break your hip getting out of your beanbag.
just leave me.
I'll be all right. No, move out of the way. You're in the way of the TV. Yeah, so one thing I noticed, I mean, there's a lot of collectibles, but I saw the little skull one, and I had pivoted the camera either up or down, and the skull was always facing me and spinning. It wasn't like an actual 3D object.
Yeah.
It was like a 2D thing rotating, and no matter how I turned the camera, almost like, I feel like you see that kind of thing in, like, Doom.
It is like, there are sprites like that. Camera controls are wonky because of that. It feels sometimes like I'm existing like a modern platformer, but mm-hmm. then those kinds of things happen and it threw off my depth perception and kind of my location in space.
Yeah, I had a real problem navigating the camera.
it's tough.
It was better on the Xbox re-release because the right joystick is more like a normal camera. But on the 64, I don't know why they did that. They just stuck to that weird freaking controller where you had to press a button to alter the camera. So it moves in like intervals.
Yeah. And then you go first person for some reason.
Yeah. If you hit up, let me look through his eyes.
You can recenter the camera, which I found to be pretty helpful.
There was a recenter camera button. But you can't just like run and hold it because then if you alter your movement in any way, the camera is also moving.
Yeah.
It's a rough time for camera controls. To be fair, though, like Metal Gear Solid also did not have a camera that you could control. They hadn't really figured that out, even though they had two joysticks on their controller.
It's honestly why I get excited about remakes recently, even though I think we're kind of stuck. It's nice to know, ooh, I'll be able to control it, like the new Metal Gear Solid remake. I'll be able to control it correctly.
Yeah, which is good. But this game, it felt like the game itself was one thing, and then controlling the camera was like a mini game you had to play the entire time as you're playing the game.
I mean, I'll say off the rip, that was my least favorite part for sure.
Yeah. How many times did you die from just depth perception failure?
A good chunk of times. I didn't realize there was maybe an enemy off of camera and I would run into them.
Yeah.
I would miss jumps. Yeah. Same.
The jumps and the little like narrow paths you had to walk. I was literally walking, barely moving the joystick. That got frustrating.
Yeah.
But the game does nail the vibe of funness.
Yeah, it's like a Chuck E. Cheese game.
It is. It's like you're in Chuck E. Cheese. The first world, I really enjoyed, actually. I was like, oh, I'm going to beat this game before the podcast. The first world is very tight, and I earned everything. Yeah. How many different collectibles did you come across?
I said, okay, I get into the world. I think the first collectible is like, here's musical notes. I go, oh, okay, that's my thing I'm supposed to get.
I was like, oh, like coins.
Got it. Yeah.
Like, all right, cool. All right, we collect the notes. And then I smash something else, and it's like, hey, here's the puzzle pieces. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. Ah, no. Oh, no.
Jiggies.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Stepped on it. Getting jiggy with it.
Getting jiggy with it. And I was. And I said, okay, that makes sense. That's just to get me from world to world. So it's puzzle pieces, jiggies, and some musical notes. Mm. And then I go over to another spot. Oh, there's eggs or something, like rocks, eggs. I don't know what those are, but
I think they were like the, you know, that Easter time we get those candies, the little like whoppers. I think that's whoppers.
So there's whoppers. Okay. I guess I'll need to pick those up to throw.
They're eggs.
All right. So that's not too bad. And then what's a feather so I can jump further? Okay. Feather, all right. That makes sense. I need to jump. I guess I need to jump. And then there's little weird dudes, and they're like, there's five of us on every level. I'm like, okay, chill.
What's Jinjos, yeah. That's what they're called. That's not a slur.
That's a crazy name. Am I offended? I might be offended.
If only they knew that's what we were calling them, they'd be offended.
So yeah, there's too many collectibles. There's gold bars apparently in one level.
Then there's like individual level different collectible types.
Yeah, or there's a lot
like mini quests, I guess. Fetch quests. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's too much.
Yeah. I mean, they introduced most of that. Well, not most of it. Maybe half of it in the first world. But I was surprised. Like I collect something. I'm like, okay. And I collect another thing. And every time you collect something, at least the first time, you get like a message popping up and they tell you why.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. You're like, okay, I'll look for you, but no promises. I guess how far did you get?
Pretty much done with World 2. This game triggered my like collection thing that I had. Mm.
Did you feel like you needed to collect everything before?
I had to look for everything. It was like, there's also rings. Forgot about those.
Rings?
There's like rings in the world. When you
little honeycombs.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they are. Yeah. Little honeycombs.
When I play collectibles,
there's so much. When I play Witcher 3, there's the Skellige Isles. There's these little question marks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got, and it, that one triggered me in the same way where I spent probably 30 hours of gameplay just getting every single one of those.
They're like, oi, Witcher, we got a real problem here. And you're like,
yeah, it's just like an overturned boat. I'm like, I got to go look at the boat. Yeah, so this did the same. It did something similar to me in that I was just, I spent a ton of time just backtracking all over the place trying to get everything.
Mm-hmm.
There was one one instance where I spent like probably 30 minutes trying to get up one thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you think if you were to keep playing this, you would 100% each level as you go?
I think I would try. Yeah.
That's a good video
for the game because that means I'm actually interested enough to try to get everything.
Right. I would agree. That's a positive. I was just shocked at how many things kept popping up they wanted me to collect. So I guess the Jinjos help you in the final fight or somewhere towards the end. And I think how many you collect can change how the fight goes, maybe?
Huh.
Okay. Sounds cool conceptually.
Yeah.
So there is a purpose to them, even though it looked like they were just thrown in, which I think is what happened. So what is the second world? It was
like pirate ship world.
Oh yeah. It's on a beach.
Yeah.
There's that giant hermit crab. Did you defeat him?
Yeah.
I had to Google how to defeat him. I didn't understand what I was supposed to do.
You go inside of him.
You go inside the shell. Yep.
Like I said, it's his house.
You enter the hermit.
Yeah.
There's a jiggy in there.
He's just hanging out.
Yeah, that world, I spent a lot of time on that trying to collect all the stuff, like backtracking to other areas once I had unlocked flying ability. So I see what you mean there.
There's I feel like the combat and movement in this game, because you said people were comparing it to Mario 64. Mm-hmm. I feel like this has a lot of, well, Mario 64 is super tight with what it does have, which is not mm-hmm. a ton of different things, but like the jumping, the double jump, etc. This yeah. game has so many different movement, comparatively, so many different movement things.
Like, yeah.
The bird will run for you, or you'll do a double jump slam, or you do like a thing where the bird comes out and goes.
Yeah,
that's all those different things. Yeah,
that was the I guess if people liked this game more, that's what they liked about it.
There were a lot of systems to like spend time on and perfect, probably.
Yeah, watching a speedrun, they're using some of the attacks as ways to move more quickly or to reach areas that maybe you are not supposed to reach.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of that. I do prefer the platforming of Mario, but
it's tighter. Yeah, it's definitely tighter.
They always nail that. Yeah, lots of different systems for attacking, and they try to teach you it all in the very beginning of the tutorial. I think I remembered most of it as it went on, but that's why I couldn't beat the hermit crab, because I didn't remember there was a jump and then attack that pecked at its eyeballs.
That was one of the first things I figured out, because I just stood there and started messing with things.
Yeah. Did you understand the story that was going on?
The pretty witch basic. Is not hot. The other little bear is hot, apparently. the flautist.
2D?
Yeah.
2D the bear?
Yeah, so the witch just said, how dare you be so hot?
She pulled a little Snow White action on her.
Yeah, pretty smooth.
So it's not a magic mirror. What did she have, a magic cauldron?
Yeah, it was a big pot of toil and trouble.
And the cauldron's like, no, you're actually ugly. You should probably not. The game, I mean, it's meant to be jokey and humorous. And it gets really like 90s rude with their jokes.
Yeah, I like it. It takes me back to a better time.
Yeah, when things were a little more offensive and no one was getting canceled yet, so they could try.
Cancel that witch, though, honestly. She's a weenie.
Yeah, but she captures Tootie and wants to trade beauty with her.
Yeah, they're in like a beauty trading machine.
Something weird. I didn't get to the end, so I don't know how it all shakes out.
Yeah, I don't fully understand the technology of this world exactly. Because that looked like a very advanced piece of tech.
Does it turn her into the bear, or it just... Well, there were dialogue moments where the witch was like, ha, your butt is going to be so big. So it just changes their shapes.
That's the most 90s thing I ever heard. Little did they know.
She had only waited 10 more years.
The witch could have been Instagram famous.
Yeah, I don't understand exactly what was happening technologically. All I know is I'm a bear with a backpack with a bird in it, and I got to save my little sister.
Got to save her.
Did you enjoy the characters' voices?
You know, the problem with these games is it still kind of happens, but they said, look, everything that they do should have its own unique, annoying line of dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So every time I jump, I have to...
Yeah.
After a while, I'm like, please stop. You don't have to yell every time.
Yeah, I think that's a very 90s thing. Like, it needs to be assigned an extreme sound.
Extremely annoying.
Yeah. But the voices and the chatter and the dialogue, they would assign like one, maybe like half second sound bit and just repeat it.
Mm.
Like Banjo was like, good, 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 good.
Banjo's a speech impediment.
Oh no. But like one character, I can't remember which character, but it was just a fart sound and just kept farting. That was the voice.
I don't know. I can't remember the fart.
It was just farting over and over. Did you know you could shoot the eggs out of the rear of the bird?
No.
That played a fart sound.
Wow. What a
And then
time.
Instead of shooting the eggs out of its mouth, it would poop it out of its butt.
Hmm. Or perhaps just since it is a lady bird, maybe she was passing them through her everything.
just birthing passage. Eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Violently.
But farting, because it made the fart sound. I could have done with
the biology of the bird.
I didn't delve into that as much as the 1998 era. Bird biology. I could have done without the voice acting, honestly.
Yeah.
If that's what it's called.
The noises?
The sounds.
Yeah.
Or I don't know how to fix that. Just take it out.
Yeah. It was, at first I was like, ah. And then after a little bit, I was like, all right, you can stab.
Yeah. Doing that. Maybe just do it for like when they say hi to each other, you play the little sound effect. But not like for the duration of the words that are showing on the bottom of the screen. Maybe that's it.
All right, go back to 1998 and help them out.
I'm going to fix it.
Go straight to Rare.
Yeah, I'm going to march into their studios. Listen, GoldenEye is great. Banjo-Kazooie needs some help. I made it kind of far. I went through the first world, the second world with the ship, the third world, which was a swamp, I think. And then I went to the fourth world, which was something else. Dang it, I can't remember. Anyway, I got to a ice snow world, which I gotta say,
ice snow.
Yeah, the worlds felt kind of generic and unrelated to the game itself. Like, why is there a snow world? Why is there a sand world? Why is there,
which I guess thought it was like her portals from her evil lair, you know, okay, to various places around the world.
I guess that works for me. The worlds themselves are kind of cool, but they just felt generic. It was like, oh, this is the ice world. And now I have no traction walking around. Seen this before. Nice try, Banjo. But I actually quit at the ice world because I was getting frustrated with what to do.
You got way further than me. You really ground out the kazoo.
I don't know how many more worlds there were, but I imagine I was about halfway.
I believe it. I don't know exactly how many either.
But yeah, there's a lot to collect, a lot to grab in each world. So if that is how you play the game, then you'd take a long time to get through this.
I think if I ever go back to it, it's definitely going to continue the collecting everything run.
100%ing.
Or trying. It's kind of hard to know where everything is, you know?
Yeah. Did you have any moments where you went into first person mode to look like around you because the camera wouldn't show you?
No, but that would have been a good idea. I only went into first person mode and went, ow, get out of here.
Stop. Yeah, I used that once or twice. When you were like in the corner of the map, the camera wouldn't rotate around. Yeah, why are there times where you can't control the camera?
Yeah, it's random. It's like you go into dead zones where they said, don't look over here, because probably if you move the camera too much, you're just going to see over the side of the mountain and break the illusion of.
Yeah, that's possible. But there were times where I would see like one of the skull tokens or a Jinjo hiding where the camera just wasn't going to show you. They're like, oh, let's stick a little collectible there.
Yeah.
So a little tip for you if you keep playing.
For sure. That we already said at the top, but the camera was the biggest annoyance in the game.
Yeah. So maybe
there were other things that could have been better, but the camera's just like, ugh.
It's rough. But that's standard of the time.
Yeah. That is one thing I've noticed as we've gone through this. The standardization of how cameras work in the modern age is so nice.
Yeah.
That really was a good thing to get. As much as I hate it, a min-max, that was a thing to min-max.
Yeah, they needed to, because we got to play our games and we got to be able to control them with ease. That's about all I got for this game. Any other thoughts as we wrap it up?
I watched some speedrunning. I think I mentioned that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fun game to watch people speedrun with all the movement and so on. Mm-hmm. I only watched the first two levels because that's all I played. Mm-hmm. But I noticed something in the first level, and this is what I mentioned earlier, I spent 30 minutes on. In the first level, there's like a termite mound, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You go inside. Well, as I would find out later, and he didn't even do this in the speedrun, I don't think, but you can go to like this. Oh yeah, there's skulls. Forgot about the skulls. You pick up skulls
in one level. Yeah.
And they go like, blah, blah,
blah. Okum, buckum.
So you can take those back to this guy who grants you powers. And in this level, he turns you into a little termite with a little vest.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about that guy. But I think he's prominent as he has feathers in his mask.
Yeah. I think
Did you not do that in the first world?
No. So I went in there and I went, I got to get up this hill. And I didn't know about the ability to like run as Kazooie. And I didn't know that I could be turned into a termite and just climb up the wall. So I spent a good 30 minutes. You know me, I like jumping in games.
Yeah.
I spent a good 30 minutes trying to figure out the mechanics of jumping up. Yeah. And I did. It's like you jump and then use the forward dash thing and then fly and then keep doing that. And then when I watched the speedrun, that's the strategy the guy used. I figured out the speedrun strat on accident.
He speedrunned it.
Yeah, I wasted my time trying to get up this ramp. Of course, this guy did it in 30 seconds flat. Right, but
he's done it before.
It was interesting. I said, oh, look at me go.
Huh. That was part of my 100%ing that first world was getting all the skulls and talking to that witch doctor and turning into a termite or an ant. I thought it was an ant.
And when I did that, I said, look, maybe it's an ant. I don't know. But when I did it, I said, look at me go. That would have been easier, but I didn't. I broke the game. So
I'm sure you got a real sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, I was thinking this game's hard.
Yeah.
It's a really hard platforming.
I did the same thing upon entering that first world, was trying, because I could see the notes on the little ledges of the steep hill. I was like, I wonder if you can just jump and figure it out. But I only spent like 10 minutes on it. And then I was like, yeah, I'm going to go find everything else.
But yeah, that's really it for me. The speedrunning is fun. I watched one where the guy just destroyed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even look like the same game anymore. He just skipped levels. And then I was watching the 100%, which is more appealing to me, I think, in this kind of game with all the collectibles and everything.
There's a lot to get. I can't imagine 100%. What was the time on it?
I think it's under 2 hours
still.
Under two hours, I think. Yeah.
Jeez. I had twice that at least and was only to world 4 or something.
That's it. You need to become a Banjo-Kazooie speedrunner.
You can't. It's too frustrating. The camera. The speedrun I watched, he's like sprinting and jumping across those little narrow pathways. I'm like, there's no way.
Yeah. The amount of practice.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll come back to this game?
Probably not. Although my daughter was enjoying watching it and kept wanting to play. I let her play a bunch. And so it has an appeal. And I think it is for a younger generation. Or if you played it younger, then you would have some love for it as an older person. And you'd probably go back to it. But I didn't play it younger. So I have no tie to it.
It's fun. I don't think I'll come back to it either. I think for me, the platformers of my youth were like Ratchet and Clank. Sly Fox.
I think we're all kind of inspired from this, actually.
Definitely. They just kind of refine the systems a little more. So I have more fun playing those.
Well, we'll see if any of those are on the list. I don't know that they are, but those are definitely other games in the same vein that could have been on the list, I think.
Yeah, those are really fun.
So yeah, I would say play it if you've never played it, just to experience the wild, crazy 90s-ness of it all. And it's a pretty fun game. I will give it that.
Yeah, definitely. And if it was 98, unless you were 12, man, this would have been great.
Yeah, for sure. So play it. Borrow my 64 if you need to.
Yep, but buy it on Xbox for the better controls.
Yeah, do that, actually. Don't borrow my 64. This was actually game number 64, which is crazy.
Whoa!
It's a Christmas miracle. So that's this week's game, unless you have anything to say else about Banjo-Kazooie.
No, that's about it. We gave the loving, endearing listeners a nice long one where we actually engaged in the game, unlike last week.
Sorry. For our next week's game, we got a game called Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yes, the wars and the stars. But this is the original arcade game, Star Wars. Are you familiar with that one?
I've seen it. I don't think I've ever played it, though.
Oof, this one's going to be hard to play, I think, to find and play. But we'll do our best.
Okay.
We may have to watch videos on this one.
But I wonder if it's any of the arcades.
Yeah, I think there might be a couple around here. I'll have to see if they have this particular game. But we'll play that or watch someone else play it. And we'll talk about that one next week.
Sounds good. Well, listener, Pee Pee Poo Poo Cast signing out.
Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye.